Just a warning, this will probably be the dumbest thing you will ever hear in your entire life. You will never get this time back, and you will probably regret listening to this right after you've listened to it. So consider yourself warned. This is Drop the Gloves.
Bring 'em out, bring 'em out, bring 'em out, bring 'em out. It's hard to yell when the barrel's in your mouth.
Come on.
Bring 'em out, bring 'em out.
Hey.
Bring 'em out, bring 'em out.
Hey. 2 months from now, if we stay the course, I will be premier.
Bring 'em out, bring 'em out.
And here we are. Pretty soon a recap show.
Pretty soon a recap show should be coming our way for sure.
It's getting there.
It's a highlight show time. It's almost time to hire management, I think.
Well, we almost have an audio engineer on staff.
He's over, look at him.
He's over there working away, getting ready for us to send this off to him, and then...
Because he's not busy enough with other things?
Enough, no.
Absolutely. Forget about the Miracle Marathon.
Lenny the producer.
Or the Radiothon.
So. Yeah, a ton of stuff to do, and might as well pile this on as well. You know, if you want something done, get the busiest person in the room to do it.
Because you'll do it. You'll just throw it. Yeah, put it
in
the pile.
Yeah, okay, put it on my desk, but I'll get to it eventually.
Lenny the producer, what a beauty. And he's
definitely a beauty.
Welcome addition to the show.
First topic I got here. This one was mine, and I had to bring it up. How do you get over the winter blues? I mean, it's a blizzard outside.
Uh-huh.
You know, we had, what, 2-3 days last week where you didn't have to wear a jacket, and we're back to minus 30, minus 40 weather with blizzard conditions. How do you get over this, man? I'm going to have to start scheduling vacations different.
Yeah, me too. I have serious issues with this. Wintertime between January through March is probably the worst time for me. It's the no sunlight way up here in northern Canada, and I have no idea how to get over it. I'm not sure. I mean, playing sports, I guess, and getting out and not sitting around, being in a local community group has helped me get through it.
I think for me, I'm so tied up with the Fort McMurray Oil Barons, our local Alberta Junior Hockey League team, and that takes up so much time, plus everything else that's happening in our region. It's a very busy one with the oil sands, local politics, provincial politics, even federal politics. There is a lot going on, so it keeps me busy, and plus, I mean, when you're dealing with the winter, there's the NFL season, the NHL season, the NBA season. So for me, there's a lot of optimism. But one thing that I look at right now that's sort of an indication that the winter is slowly but surely going to be up is the fact that spring training is just starting for baseball.
Very true.
The problem that I have is, picture yourself when you were a child. You'd get bundled up in 5 or 6 layers worth of clothing, and it was fun because you'd be outside all day.
Yeah, my clothes weighed more than me.
Now as an adult, I hate bundling up in that much clothing. Not only do I hate bundling up in that much clothing, I hate having to take it off when you get to work, take your shoes off and anytime you go to any business. I don't do anything outside because it's minus 40 and who wants to hang out in that kind of weather?
You actually take your shoes off when you go in other people's business? That's very nice of
you.
Well,
it all depends what businesses you're walking into, right? Some you can just, like a grocery store, you don't have to take your shoes off, but if it's a home-based business or some of those other ones, you have to take them off. Like,
well, then they're going to lose my money.
They're going to lose your shoes.
Yes, you're right. Not taking your shoes off.
That's right.
Off
I'm ready. Fighting the fight. Yeah, boy!
Flavor Ken!
Just ridiculous. So anyway, that's my problem with all this. I need to start either drinking more or planning a vacation right smack dab in the middle of winter to get out of this.
Do both.
I'll disagree with that because I'm somebody who, but then again, I guess it's because of my schedule. But my preference is to get away in the summer because, I mean, places are obviously nicer in the summer. I mean, let's face it. I mean, I'm from Montreal. That's where I usually like to go when I'm on vacation. But let's face it. It's probably not that much better there this time of the year. My dad's always yapping and complaining about how cold it is there, but he's never experienced the Fort McMurray winters.
You know, a phrase really gets to me in the wintertime. You'll be talking away to somebody back home. Chris and I from Ontario. So Eastern Canada, pretty much Central Canada. I don't know what we're called over there, but we're east from here. I always hear, well, it's a different kind of cold. No, it's not. Minus 40 is minus 40. I don't care if it's damp or dry. It still sucks.
Yeah, I'll wholeheartedly agree with you there. But I mean, when it does warm up here, like it has the last couple days, and then gets cold, day is like a wet, sink through all your clothing kind of cold. But maybe it's because I'm not really prepared for it. But like I said, I hate having to bundle up. I hate having to tie my shoes. Nothing better than just throwing on flip-flops, no jacket, in shorts and a t-shirt and walking out the door.
I'm with you.
I think I'm wearing dress shoes to be professional. There's no laces on these.
Good point. But I'm with you. Flip-flops, shorts, t-shirt, hat. Let's roll.
You're hanging around the house in a t-shirt and shorts. You throw your flip-flops on and you're out the door and you're ready to go for anything that the day has to tackle. You don't have to put a toque on.
Hopefully a patio.
Couple layers, some gloves, clean your car off. That's my problem with the winter blues.
Well, look, I mean, you like me, Chris, you're from the school of shaving the head completely, and I see that you've decided to let it go over the winter. And it's unfortunate that you have to do that, but something tells me if you were living in Miami, Florida, you would be bald year-round.
I would be bald all year round because it's just easy to throw a couple things on. I wouldn't even wear flip-flops. I'd walk around barefoot.
Hells yeah.
Next, now that we're done with our winter, my winter rant anyway, next topic, NHL playoffs and what the outlook looks like it's going to be.
It's really a dogfight, isn't it, for eighth place in both?
It really is a dogfight pretty much across the board, yeah.
I mean, nobody's solidified first. There has been no clinched yet.
No, nothing close. I mean, if you look at the Western Conference, Vancouver's certainly in a good position to do that. But in the East, you know that Philadelphia and Pittsburgh are going to be duking it out for that top spot. I have a feeling. I'm not sure if Tampa Bay is going to catch them. I think everything's a bit of a dogfight. And if you want to look at my favorite team, the Montreal Canadiens, one way I look at that is that the playoffs end right now. Habs in six. They would play Boston. And the Habs are only a few points behind them for the lead. It just seems to be a matter who's going to have home ice in that one. And you're already seeing that some teams are starting to get into that selling mode. Toronto trades Chris Versteeg, picking up a very valuable first-round pick, I may add.
But, I don't know. Really valuable first-round pick?
Get into the
compared
Chris
to none at all?
Pick.
Compared to you know what? At all. 20th, it's practically a second-rounder. Philadelphia is going to finish way up there, and you're right. You know what? Compared to, sure, there goes my mic.
There goes your microphone.
Compared to, you're right. But at the other token, Versteeg's 24. The trade to me made no sense, and he must have wanted to get out.
I'm thinking that's probably it.
It's the culture in Toronto being under the microscope. I don't think you can handle it.
No, yeah, and where did he...
Well, Philadelphia is a pressure cooker, too.
But like, he came from Chicago here.
No, it's not Toronto.
No, it's not Toronto. It's not Toronto, but But the thing is, though, is that the Philadelphians, they take their hockey very seriously down there. That's one of the American markets, and having been there a few times, they're very passionate about their Flyers.
But, I will wholeheartedly disagree with that.
Really?
Philadelphia. Look at Philadelphia as a whole. The Eagles, by far the most popular team in that city.
Phillies.
By far. The Phillies kind of pull off a little bit. And then you also got the 76ers. There's a more diluted sort of fan base for hockey.
But the Flyers
look in
are
Toronto,
a winning team.
The Raptors, no one's talking about the Raptors. The Blue Jays, you gloss over the Blue Jays. Only 2,000 out of 5 million people care about the Blue Jays. The Maple Leafs are what they are, and no one cares about the Alouettes.
They are, and I'm not saying.
Especially not in Toronto, Chris, because we have the Argos, not the Alouettes.
No, same thing.
They don't care, but the thing, though, is that Philadelphia, I'm not even comparing it to Toronto in that end, but I'm just saying that Chris Versteeg is not going to an area where there's no pressure. That's more the point I'm making.
Well, he came from Chicago. I mean, Chicago, they're kind of a pressure-cooking city, aren't they?
Well, Chicago isn't as much in hockey. I mean, you got the Bulls, which pull a lot.
Yeah, the Bulls are.
The Bears, which they're always...
Bears!
The thing is, anytime there's an NFL team, they're going to be pulling a lot of the winter focus anyway.
Especially in the
U.S. And if you have a basketball team that's doing... half-assed job.
And Chicago is one of the top teams in the East.
Then you're going to get a city that's split between basketball and hockey.
Yeah, you're right. And as U.S. has shown, that basketball is a little more popular.
The one thing I'll agree with you, Trent, is that the fans who like Philadelphia in hockey love Philadelphia in hockey. But it hasn't captured the whole city.
Yeah,
like even when they were making their run and they were starting to beat a couple teams, you didn't see the fury like you do in other cities.
Like, and
that's in Canada, though, but you can't compare hockey in Canada to anywhere else in the world.
Even in Chicago, exactly. When they were making their cup run, there was, parties on the streets, and that's in Chicago. It's behind a winner.
But in Philly and in Chicago, too, I mean, you're going to deal with the stations who carry them. You're going to deal with the TV station. ESPN will be there, but you're not going to have the pressure cooker of the national televised channel at your practices every day, monitoring your every move. I mean, it's a little less of a pressure cooker.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, you got a sports radio station that does nothing but cover the Leafs lunch.
Yeah.
And that goes on all year round.
Summertime and in Saturdays.
You're never going to see the Flyers lunch going on in the middle of summertime during spring training or anything, right?
No, I mean, if they sign a big free agent or something like that, then yeah.
It'll be mentioned.
So, you know what? Maybe the pressure got to him a little
bit.
At
the bottom of the sports cast. Yeah.
I think for sure the Versteeg trade was, I want out, and they went, well, let's get a first-round pick for him. He probably gave them a list of where he wants to go, and he went there.
Well, looking at the West, like you were saying there, Ken, Vancouver almost pulling away with things. I mean, 7 points ahead of Detroit. they're in the driver's seat for the rest of the season, really.
And I'm going to make a bold prediction right here, and I'm going to say the Calgary Flames make the playoffs. I believe they do.
I believe they are going to. 1 point ahead of Minnesota, I could see, you know, you got to keep that. There's an ebb and flow to every season where you go on some win streaks, some lose streaks. Here's hoping that it's just wins from here on out, but, you know, that'll be a tough battle in the Wraith. Montreal, I think, is pretty secure. They're right in the middle of number five in the conference.
They are.
Should be okay.
They are, but in talking about the Habs as a Habs fan, a lot of people are saying that they need to do something, and it's almost like they're saying they need to do something in order to be able to take that next step. It would be nice, but I'm not in a position where I'd like to mortgage the future, because one of the reasons of our success is because of those young guys. And if the price, for example, somebody, and I'm not saying it's Thomas Cabrera, but a defenseman of that caliber, they're probably going to want some of our young guys like Yannick Weber, P.K. Subban, Max Pacioretty, and would I be prepared to give that up for Thomas Cabrera? No, I wouldn't.
See, here's the issue, though. I mean, that is getting rid of P.K. and Subban, for instance, to me, just blows the whole trade out of the water. I mean, you get Cabrera, yeah, but you're losing Subban, and he's one of your major players right now. He's one of your big defensemen.
Him as an example as the young guy sustaining success. But at the same time, I mean, if I'm a non-contending team who wants to rebuild, would I ask for Subban? Absolutely, because, I mean, you're talking about a guy who's young enough that last year he could have played for the Fort McMurray Oil Barons. Now he's playing in the NHL, making a meaningful contribution as a rookie to the Habs. I'm not saying that the Habs would offer him up. They wouldn't offer him up, but would other teams ask for him? I'm sure they'd ask.
But you're more likely to ask for a pick if you're going to be giving away a rent player at the trade deadline.
Yeah, you're going to want a pick. You're going to want a high pick. You're going to want one.
I'd say that if I'm Montreal, I mean, that the Montreal first rounder is going to be worth more than Philly's, that's for sure.
Still talking about the NHL playoffs. If it ended right now, Montreal would still be in it, obviously.
Facing Boston.
No, it looks like you guys be facing Pittsburgh.
I'm just happy Ottawa is nowhere near it.
Calgary's in it as well. Vancouver's in it. And that's it for the Canadian teams. Being a Toronto fan, do you cheer for another Canadian team once playoffs start?
All depends which Canadian team it is.
As
long as it's not Ottawa, I will jump.
I don't think anyone likes Ottawa.
I will cheer for the Habs, for sure. I respect Montreal. I love Montreal. I love their fans, the fact that they are true blue, real-life hockey fans. Vancouver, I will not cheer for them.
See, I'm the same way. I won't cheer for Vancouver. They're in the same division as the Flames. I will cheer for Montreal. Won't cheer for Ottawa. And
I'll cheer
Toronto,
for Calgary.
If they did, I'd
How about Edmonton?
Edmonton, I would.
Yeah. I like Edmonton.
The thing is, there's a lot of talk about a rivalry in province. I don't think it's as fierce as was back in like the 80s. It's kind of died down a little bit. I'd rather see a good Canadian team doing good as opposed to, you know, Ottawa doing good.
We should discuss closer to playoff time why neither of us will cheer for Vancouver.
Although, you know what? I won't cheer for Vancouver. I will cheer for the Green Men, though. The two green guys that sit beside the penalty box.
Oh, yeah. I was like, what the hell is he talking about? I'm on their side. I love the Leafs, but I cheer for the waffle guy.
You got to cheer for the waffle guy, too.
And Carlton.
Of course, Carlton, the worst name. We should get into this one day. Worst mascots.
Yeah, that could be a pretty good one, for sure. Next topic. This one's mine again. Brewing your own beer, wine, or hooch. Now, I know, Kev, that you have
an
extensive knowledge.
I do, actually. Not because I'm a drunk. That's a whole other topic altogether. My mom owns a brew your own and a winery, and I spent a lot of time working in there. The wine, I like the wine. You can make a really nice wine. As for the beer, I'm dead against it.
But you're pro brew house.
Yeah, but I will trust me. Brew house tastes like a fine white wine compared to the stuff you brew at home, man.
The reason I brought this up is because I actually want to start brewing my own beer, and I think it'd be a cool little hobby to do.
It's a good hobby. I wanted to do the wine thing, but it's hard to find here in town.
Yeah, see, I brewed my own wine in college just because nothing better than knocking a bottle back before you head out to the bar.
That
and
you made.
Save a lot of money. Yeah,
do you want to hear a great story about brew your own wine? All right, so here it is. In college, my mom would send me, she'd be pissed if she ever heard this, but she would send me up a case. She would make me a case of wine and send
Mrs.
it.
Mrs. Fell, if you're listening, now's the time to turn it off.
To send me to school with it so I would save money on beer. But what she didn't know is I turned around and sold the wine and made beer money.
Wow. There you go.
That's an
entrepreneur move.
That's
smart. I'm liking it.
You know why? Because everyone expects the dope dealer. Who the hell bootlegs this day and age?
That's what I'm saying. The reason I threw hooch on here is because I think it'd be cool to make like whiskey or moonshine. Well, not necessarily moonshine, but like brew your own whiskey or something.
I'd
love that.
You need a distillery to brew whiskey.
Yeah, but it is possible to get it for a home. It's not, out of the realm of possibilities. I don't think it might cost a grand or two to get all the stuff, but I don't think it'll cost
tens
of thousands. I don't know if it's legal.
It's definitely not legal to have a still. I mean, I remember looking into that when I was younger, and my dad just about had a conniption fit. But
I'll try it, and if I get arrested, I'll let you guys know.
I'd give it a shot.
It stinks.
That's the other thing, eh? You kind of need like a basement with a vent or something.
Yeah,
it stinks.
And shed for sure. Now we're talking moonshine. Now we're in the,
and at that point, you'd worry about lighting up a smoke in your place because you probably exploded.
You got to be careful with the brewing of hard liquors. Because that's when, how was that drink? He was like, yeah. That's when you are crossing into the boundaries of moonshine and the illegal stuff. And because you can start, now you're talking about setting your own alcohol count to ridiculously high. I think that's why I don't like the beer, because I made it like 15% alcohol.
Oh, okay. So you overdid it.
At that point, you could use it to clean up like scratches and cuts on your body.
Yeah, I was pretty much rubbing alcohol. It tasted like bum.
Well. There you are. Okay. Yeah. Next one I have here, Bang, Marry, Kill.
Okay.
Everyone's played this game.
I'm going to let you guys go first.
Holy shiznit. I really need to think about this.
All right. Bang. I don't know why. Snooki.
Okay.
I don't know why, but Snooki from Jersey Shore, I would love to just throw that little...
See, we already had this topic before, right? We already had our top five. We threw all this stuff around. But now I'm more interested in the Mary Kill part.
Mary?
Mary Kill.
Taylor Swift. Nice girl.
Mary?
Yeah. Girl next door.
Who's on the road for 300 days a year.
Yeah, you don't have to deal with her much.
Singing, her 15-year-old love songs.
Yeah.
About boyfriends she used to have.
She's going to get old soon, and she'll be perfect to settle down with.
About holding hands and gazing into someone's eyes.
Trust me, I know she's probably not the most sexual. Why do you think all these guys break up with her? Jake Gyllenhaal, Jonas, you know why? Because she probably is...
She's probably not putting out.
Or she's just really bad at it.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
And Kill?
Still Taylor Swift, though.
I know. I'd gold bronze my unit after that.
And then Kill.
Kill, it's gonna go back to Jersey Shore. Sammy.
Yeah, I'll give you that one.
I like how in all the girls in the world, two of which involved Jersey Shore.
It's taking over the world, man. It's pop culture. Nothing much you can do.
I'm watching too much of it. Trents.
All right. For my bang, it would be Maria Sharapova. I was looking at pictures of her today and
random.
Yeah.
How random. just because it was a Tuesday today?
It just happened to be one of those things that I was thinking about. Because I remember one of the first times when we had it and we had this discussion earlier, I figured that I'd start looking at some Maria Sharapova pictures. And
thing led to another and he burnt through a pile of lube.
There you go.
One thing led to another, and I got to go home and change pants here. But
those Kleenexes were happy ones.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. that's my bang. Anyways, my Mary would be my number one hottie, Hillary Clinton. Listen, man, I'd love to just say, who is your wife? Oh, I am married to Hillary Rodham Clinton.
Bill's ex.
Secretary
of State.
You know why I have a problem with that? Bill Clinton did her.
That makes it awesome.
Nothing to Bill Clinton do her. Bill Clinton cheated on her.
Yeah.
And then did her.
That's how good she was.
And then did her.
Yeah.
Probably after.
Bill Clinton. He is my hero.
But the bottom line is that, you know what? Hillary Clinton, Secretary of State, very influential woman. Like, how could you not want to be married to that? And as far as killing, I'm going to have to go with Madonna on that.
That.
Yeah, I know.
That.
It's a great picture.
Let's see. I can't really see it.
It's going to refresh in a sec.
Yeah, I mean, I'm
trying to look at
train.
This.
Yeah. I don't know. All the girls in the world, that's the one you're going to marry?
This one?
Really? I didn't say Janet Reno.
Janet Reno's dance party.
Obviously, I have no problem with Hillary Clinton. I love the power, and you know that. Now, as far as killing off Madonna, I still haven't forgiven her for coming out with Ray of Light. That's just a really bad song. I'm trying to look the other way, and I can't forgive that.
Let's go over this. Your bang, Maria Sharapova.
Right.
Down. Hillary Clinton you're going to marry, and you're going to kill Madonna.
Yes.
All right. Well, there you go.
Like I said, I can't forgive Ray of Light.
Just can't forgive her for that song, eh?
No.
I don't even know that song.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that to yourself. Don't do that to yourself.
Don't do it to yourself. You don't deserve that kind of, you know, torture.
All right, good.
Burnsy.
What about Cher? You know, you'd rather kill Madonna than Cher?
Ooh.
Yeah, I know. Wow. There you go.
You know
what? They both won Grammys, so you know how I feel about that.
Yeah, anyone who's won a Grammy is golden in your eyes.
Yeah, I want to
see. Exactly, and that's like power in mine.
Like if Rita McNeil won 3 Grammys, I'd be DTF with her.
What about Boyle?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You'd go down.
She'd have to wear 12. She'd have to win 12.
You had to double bag that one on her head and one of yours.
Yeah, yeah. Just in case one of mine falls off. Yeah.
Or hers does.
Yeah.
And if they both do, then you're gonna shoot yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Right in the face. My 3. Bang, Mila Kunitz.
Oh yeah.
We were talking about that last week.
Big fan.
Already married, so I've already picked that one. And if I had to kill anyone in the entire world, I may, as tempted as I am to go to a Jersey Shore reference with your Sammy, and as tempted as I am to pick Cher, I'm going to stick with the musical theme anyway, and Celine Dion.
Oh, thank you.
I think just be done with you. You married a 90-year-old.
Her face freaks me out when she sings.
You know, the fact that you're still having kids at 45 is kind of freaky as well, and yeah, you got to go. Time to go.
Gone. All right. Not bad.
Not a bad topic, eh?
No, I like.
Moving on, I have labor updates. This one was yours, Kendra, and it involves the 3 top leagues, well, 3 of the top 4 leagues anyway, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the NFL, the NHL, as we all know, had a lockout in 2005.
Worst year ever.
It was a tough year. So now we're looking at something similar like that to the NFL. It's only a couple weeks away, and the owners may be locking the NFL players out.
Yeah, it's become a very... It's become, there's a lot of friction in that situation now, and I know that some red flags were raised when a labor meeting that was supposed to take place in Washington, D.C. was called off, and that deadline when the agreement expires is March 4th, and now already Roger Goodell is writing opinion pieces talking about the urgency to set up that meeting, plus he's called for a meeting of all league owners as well in Florida, and everybody is going to be there, and I think we know what they're going to decide on. And it's starting to get scary. The NFL's popularity is at an all-time high. They have such momentum going forward. I cannot believe how anybody, including both owners and players, would even allow something like this to get out of hand.
Here's the problem that you run into, and it's a big one, and I've mentioned this a few times. The different way that the price structure is set out in the NFL compared to the other leagues, the NFLPA is not as strong as the Major League Baseball's union. Hockey is almost non-existent. But the problem is, the NFLPA told their players at the beginning of last season, get ready, because there's going to be a lockout, start saving your money. They've already been planning for this. The owners are already ready to do this. You have a pie of $8
billion. $9 billion, even more.
It's $9 billion. Yeah. The TV rights are $8 billion.
But they said league revenues wide of $9
billion. So $8 billion is getting divided between the teams. $1 billion of that gets separated for the players. The other $7 billion is going to these 32 owners. That's just the logistics of the breakdown. And they want more. They want a bigger pie. They want 2 extra games. They want a cap on the rookies, or a sliding scale is how they're putting it. And I don't think anything is going to get solved. And we're also looking at basketball's next year.
Yeah,
next June is when basketball expires.
Now, in basketball, will be the management and the Players Association locking out, or will be a walkout?
No, it's going to be a lockout.
No, it would be a lockout.
Same
too.
As the NHL, same as the NFL is about to do now, and yeah.
It's the worst. I hate when that happens.
But you know what? The one thing that's pretty funny about all this, and it's always the same thing happened in the NHL, no one gets mad at the owners. Always get mad at the players.
And the players are locked out.
You're making $7 million a year. You should be out there playing. You should just take concessions. The problem in the NFL is the owners don't have to disclose how much they make.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
They could be, you know, Jerry Jones could be pulling in $1 billion a year from the Dallas Cowboys in total revenue, but you always look at the different players making tens of millions or millions of dollars.
And now the thing that's happened is the NFL's always done a great job because of the national TV rights is centralizing league revenues. Now, because of luxury boxes and these brand new spaceships of stadiums that they're building are bringing in all kinds of money, and stadium-generated revenue from things like luxury boxes don't count towards going to the league pool. So now a guy like a Jerry Jones, as you mentioned, Chris, can rake in more money than, say, Lambeau Field.
Yeah. And the biggest problem that, you know, this is going to be happening across the board, because the owners have a big push. They want to get as many new stadiums bought with public money as possible, kind of leaving them off the hook. So if there isn't a season next year in the NFL, and if there isn't one in basketball, it's the taxpayers of the different cities that are going to be on the hook to pay for this empty building. And as they are now, but it, you know, it's a little bit easier pill to swallow when there's actually a game for someone to go to, as opposed to an empty building that I'm paying for with my taxes and just sitting there.
I mean, you're paying for your seats, you're paying for your hot dogs and your pops and whatever you want to buy at the game, you're paying for your souvenirs, you're paying for parking, and those generate money. So is that an easy pill for a taxpayer to swallow? Absolutely, because the amount of the pie is that much smaller. But as you mentioned, an empty stadium, there is nothing coming in. Only going out.
So that's the real reality that we're looking at. And I can't believe that, you know, from 2004, 2005, no one's looked or no one's seen the real impact of the NHL problem.
Other than they forget
it almost.
Yeah, other than the cap. I mean, that's a real thing anyone notices.
Yeah, but that got, that was part of going back to work, was implementing a cap. So what concessions are going to be given now if there is no NFL season? You know, the NHL is still trying to pull fans back that they lost in the early 2000s.
That was a lot. The MLB is still trying to pull fans back from a way back when. I mean, from
they're the 90s. They're getting there. They're getting there, but it's taken them 10 to 15 years to get there.
Yeah, and you also got to realize that they went through, you know, a home run race, which brought a lot of fans back. They also went through a steroid thing where it's kind of pushed fans
where
away.
It got attention.
Right? It got attention, but still pushed people away. So, I mean, it's a struggle to get back, that's for sure. And whether these owners realize it or not, you are going to lose fans if there's no NFL season.
All you know is that a lockout, and it's not just what the effect it's going to have while the lockout's happening, but when you come back, that's what you have to worry about.
My question is, though, Chris and Ken, will they actually lose fans, though? Or is it going to be like the NHL up here where Canadians went, hockey's back, hockey's back, hockey's back, you know, when the NFL comes back? Are they going to lose that many fans in the hardcore markets?
You probably will lose some because you're going to be stopping your league as other sports are still going on. Yeah. Basketball is just kicking up in end of October. Hockey starts in the middle of October. So there are going to be some that will detract to other sports.
It's a good situation for the NHL, and I bet Gary Bettman's got to be loving this, because if the NFL gets locked out and the NBA gets locked out, hey, that's the whole winter just for the NHL.
That's true. Gary Bettman finally might do something right. No.
That's coincidence. Let's not give him credit.
Yeah, that's true. You're right.
It's strictly coincidence. Moving right along. Still talking about sports. Spring training. Pitchers and catchers have already reported. Who do we watch?
Jesse Lynch.
Jesse Lynch.
I love that guy. He's a beauty.
Well, let's take a look in the AL East. I mean, the Jays, you know, it's kind of that rebuilding year for them. They'll be middle of the pack like they always are. But once again, the big headhunters, I think, in the AL East will be Boston, New York. I think maybe the Boston edges them out again this year because New York really got shut out in free agency. Boston really beefed up their offense, and if Josh Beckett can return to health, guys like Lester and Lackey can return to consistency, I think they're going to be okay, and I think they overdo the Yankees, but you always got to watch out for those bloody Yankees. Let's move on to the AL Central. I'll go over this one real quickly, I could see panning out there, and that's going to be, I think, Chicago and Minnesota are going to duke it out for the top spot in that division. You definitely want to keep your eye on Detroit. I think that's another team to be watchful of. In the American League West, once again, I think Anaheim's going to be in a good position to do that. They picked up Vernon Wells. It's going to add up for their offense. National League East with the Phillies, I have no reason to see why they wouldn't be division champions. That rotation is just way too much, I believe. Plus, now they've added Cliff Lee there. They're going to be a deadly. AL Central, I'm going to go and say that the Reds maybe redo it. And Milwaukee make a push and St. Louis finish in third, because I think this Albert Pujols thing is going to really weigh heavily in on them, and I have a feeling that Milwaukee's going to make a step up, and I have a feeling as well that the Reds are going to be good again. And last but not least, NL West, I really couldn't tell you. I you see LA. I don't know if San Diego is going to repeat, so I think that one's wide open.
Here's the thing I feel about Major League Baseball, and people starting to report right now. I don't get the same thrill as I do when the NFL spring training or summer when training camps start up. I don't really feel it until opening day. I kind of gloss over everything until you actually see roster on opening day, because arguably opening day in baseball is the biggest opening day in any of the four sports.
I agree.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. When are they bringing a cap to that sport?
Maybe if they ever
there
go
is. On. They just nobody cares, and the only teams that really go over it are four or five teams that spend that kind of money. So does a team like the New York Yankees have a problem paying $100 in luxury tax? No, they don't. They're that rich.
Okay.
Yeah, that's, like I said, do you feel the same way?
I'm with you on that.
It's
like,
a cat-eat-cat world.
I like the base. I like baseball, but I'm with you. I don't get too pumped about it until opening day. I'll be sitting and watching the J game.
See, because I joined fantasy baseball. I'm a big fantasy player. I love fantasy football. Playing fantasy hockey, I don't like the fact that I have to check it every day. And that's the same thing with baseball. You join a rotisserie and you got to always be checking in. I'm not a big fan of them playing that much. I think they play too much.
How many games?
62.
I never get tired of it, but then again, I'm a baseball nut.
Even in the NHL season, there's a lot of people now that are going, really? Another game?
82?
82 games?
I don't mind 82.
You don't mind sitting through 82 hockey games?
No. Who are you talking to over here?
Yeah, I guess. So,
me in baseball.
Yeah, who are you talking to? Come on.
See, I don't mind checking different things out, like different teams or different sports, but I mean, I was a season ticket holder for the Flames, and 41 home games is a lot to have to go down, drive, park, watch, it does wear on fans.
You see, if I had NHL center ice at my house, I don't think I'd ever leave.
Just
never leave. I'd be watching
everything. Like order everything in. That's about all the time we got. We'll hit one more topic as we're walking out the door here. Kev, it is your topic.
Side boob?
It's side boob.
I love side boob. I'm a big fan of watching a girl walk by and straight up side boob. I dig it.
Catch a side boob?
What do you like?
I like it too. I prefer a more direct view. I'm a sort of a nipogosis kind of fan.
Oh, nipogosis. The fancy word for nipple.
Straight on, need to see everything.
Yeah.
I'm an under boob kind of guy.
Really?
Show me the underside. There we go.
But
show me some overhang.
I think that side boob now is the new, how 30 is the new 20? I think side boob's the new cleavage because you can't get checked looking at it. You can't get caught.
Well, unless they have very versatile or good peripheral vision.
It's
or
true.
Well, let's face it. I mean, if you're caught staring at a woman's breasts, she's not going to point out, hey, stop looking at my boobs. Like, it almost never happens.
Only in the movies.
It's right. True.
Well, thanks very much, guys. We'll see you next week.